grateful to Sam today for a good job in leading us in these hymns of faith and being able to sing together and blend our voices to our Father. And we hope and trust that our worship today has been acceptable in His sight. And we certainly hope that tonight as we gather here at this evening service for the purpose of glorifying and honoring God once again, and subsequently to it to be admonished and encouraged as God's children. You know, we all need encouragement because I have learned in life that every one of us, regardless of who we are, have problems and burdens that we are bearing. We all do. Sometimes people do not always give us the right advice, even when we are dealing with problems and the complexities of life. I heard about a man one time who was so depressed that he climbed a bridge down near Port Arthur. I think they call it the Rainbow Bridge. And anyway, he had gotten at the top of that bridge and was threatening to jump over and take his life. And someone suggested that they call his preacher. And his preacher journeyed to where he was. He drove up to the top of that bridge, parked his car, got out, and walked over and talked to the man for a few minutes. And the man began to unfold for him all of the problems that he had encountered in life and all the things that he was undergoing. And about that time, the preacher said, "On your mark, get set." So not everybody is going to give you the right advice in life. Now, I want to give you some advice tonight. You may consider it wise. You may consider it foolish. You may consider it somewhere in between. But I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about how to handle what is handling you. If I were to ask you tonight, what are the problems that you have going on in your life? What would you say? And how are you handling what is handling you? Could be something physical, could be something emotional, could be a problem with a neighbor, could be a problem with a child, maybe a mate, could be a problem maybe with a church member, maybe somebody else in the community. But we all have them. Years ago, a woman with her little baby was riding in a stagecoach in Midwestern Montana, and the weather was bitter and it was cold, unlike today. But in spite of all the driver could do to protect her, he saw that the mother was becoming unconscious from the cold outside. He stopped the coach, took the baby and wrapped it up warmly and put it under the seat, then seized the mother by the arm and, dragging her out upon the ground, drove away, leaving her right in the middle of the road. And as she saw him drive away, she ran after him, crying piteously for her baby. And when she felt sure that she was warm, he allowed her to overtake the coach and resume her place by the baby. Well, we cannot imagine her gratitude in reality when she realized that in actuality, what he did was to save her life. He had done what God does sometimes to us, to shake us out of our soul's lethargy and our moral sleep that might end in our death, spiritually speaking. You know, sometimes God is that stagecoach driver. He is. He wants us to learn more about Him. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know of any way we learn more about God than through problems and through trials and through affliction, through difficulties that we all face in life. Someone said that a Christian without affliction is like a soldier only on parade. But how do you handle what's handling you? Let me offer some suggestions, three of them tonight. First of all, take your burdens to the right place. Sometimes we carry our burdens to the wrong place. Sometimes we talk to other people about our burdens, and when you know that they're not going to really be able to help you, you're simply only venting, when we need to, in actuality, take our problems and our burdens to the right place. And that is God. I have learned also that fretting will not help you. You know, we all fret. I fret a lot of times about a lot of things in life. We all do. And that's kind of like worrying. It's kind of like wringing your hands, not being able to do anything about it. But you still fret over it. You get upset over it. We all do. Most people take their burdens here. This is where they actually go. But it's to the wrong place. Because we are forbidden to worry, the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We're to get rid of our anxiety, says. But we're to trust in God. By prayer and supplication, he says, let your requests be made known unto God. And Jesus in the 14th chapter of the book of John in verse 1 said, let not your hearts be troubled. But sometimes our hearts get troubled about a lot of things in life. And generally, they're over things we can't do anything about. We just fret about it. The best thing to do is get over it and go on. I'm not saying that's an easy thing for us to do, but what we need to do is take our problems, bathe them in prayer before our Father's throne, and leave it up to God to deal with our problems. But sometimes we habitually bring them up. Sometimes we just don't know how to deal with them. We are like Martha in many cases. We are troubled and careful about many things, Luke chapter 10. Take your burdens to the right place. But there's a second thing. Not only will fretting not help, but friends will not always be there for you. There are what we call fair-weathered friends who will be there for you when things are going well and things are going good. Job tried his best to tell his friends about his problems, about his burdens. But he found that they were really physicians of no value. They didn't really do anything about him. They just blamed him. Job chapter 13 and verse 4. They said, all of this is because of you. If you would get clean with God, then all your problems will leave. Well, Job knew better than that. Friends cannot always offer the best advice. They don't. But fretting won't help you, and friends won't always be there for you. I'll tell you another thing. Do you know there are a lot of people that try to run from their problems, and fleeing will not help you either. You will never, ever be able to run far enough away from the trials and the problems of this life. Israel found this out the hard way. Israel is finding out today that there are many problems with Hamas. And I'm glad that they're resilient enough. And I'm glad that they're standing their ground also. It is a terrible thing sometimes when we feel that we can run away from our problems. But that won't help you. Jonah came to that conclusion also, that it was folly, because God knew where he was. God found him. He didn't have to put out an Amber Alert to find Jonah. He knew exactly where he was. And you know what? God knows where we are. Let me tell you something else. Fleeing won't help you. Fretting about it's not going to help you. Friends won't always be there to help you. And fighting won't help you either. A lot of people try to live a life of denial and fight what they are called to face in life. Fighting against the Lord will only bring you greater problems, and it is a dangerous thing, because if you are not careful, you will be fighting against the will of God. I heard about two men who were on a bicycle built for two. Any of you ever ridden one of those? Anybody? These two men were on a bicycle built for two, and they were going up this real steep hill. And as they made the crest at the top, the guy in front said to his friend behind him, "Boy, I'll tell you, that was the steepest hill I have ever tried to climb. I didn't think we were going to make it." He said, "I didn't either." He said, "I kept my brakes on the whole time." You know, there are some people who keep their brakes on when God is trying to move us in the direction of heaven. God's trying to lead you out of your problems, but you fail to realize, and so you've got the brakes on, and God is saying, "Go, let go." And I heard about a little boy one time who was on the top of a mountain, and the little boy slipped, and he caught a little limb that was protruding out of the mountain, and he was holding on for it with dear life. And the little boy gazed up, and he didn't see a soul around, but he gazed up into the heavens. And he said, "Oh, dear God," he said, "please help me, please help me." Because he could look at the chasm below, and he knew that it meant certain death. And so he looked up into the heavens again, and he says, dear God, please help me, please help me." And about that time, the voice of God says, "Let go, I will save you." And the little boy, holding on for dear life, looked up into the heavens and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" You know, sometimes God says to us, "Let go." We have to let go of our problems. You have to let go of your burdens for God to deliver you. And that brings me to another point. You can't run. You can't flee far enough. Friends won't always be there for you. Fighting's not going to help, but your Father will help you. If you read the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said to "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest from what? Maybe your burdens. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," heavy burdened, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls." You see, in reality, the Lord throws open the doors of his throne room and invites all who need help to come to him. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. His love for his sheep is manifested in the book of Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. He is our Father, and he is interested in helping us through the difficult passageways that we face every day. Sometimes when we're trying to walk the straight and the narrow way, and that's where Christ called us to walk, wasn't it? He said, "Strive to enter at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Most of us want to walk the broad way. We don't want to have to squeeze down to get through the straight and the narrow way. But you know what? God always helps us in that straight and that narrow way. There were various names that were given to God in the Old Testament. If you were to go back to the Old Testament, you would remember that God is called by a number of things. He's simply called the Lord. He's called the Jehovah Jireh, the one who gives us help. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. But sometimes we go to the wrong place. And so we need to be going to the right place with our problems. There's a second thought here. We need to transfer our burdens to the right person. And that's God, isn't it? There is one who really cares. David said in the Old Testament, and I think it's one of the saddest statements really about his life. And David went through many sad moments, but this was surely one of them. When he said, "There was a time when no man cared for my soul." I suppose probably it was tantamount to when Paul stood by himself. And he said, there was that time when no, I was standing up for the defense of Christ and no man stood with me. But there is one who cares about our situation. For 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says that we are to cast our cares, one translation uses that word burden, on the Lord, for he careth for you. Careth is continual. Doesn't say that cast your burdens on the Lord because he cared for you, but cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you, or he careth for you. Jesus has walked through loneliness, through need, through difficulty, and even death itself, and he was hated, he was loved, he was accepted, and he was also rejected, John chapter 12. He knows what you're going through, and he cares about you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched by the infirmities of the flesh, but he was tempted in all points or tried in all points like we are, yet without sin. You know what we do? When we face our problems, we generally end up sinning because it is a lack of faith that produces that sin. It is a lack of trust. And so we sin. It's simple and cut dry, folks. When you don't have faith, you have fear. And when you don't trust in God, you've sinned against God. But Proverbs 6 again says that we're to trust in God with all of our heart. There is one who cares about our situation. But secondly, there is one who can do something about your situation. Sometimes we feel like life is hopeless, that there is no way that we could ever resolve situations. Certain things that will just be that way, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. But not only does he know what we face, he can change what we face and how we face it. Now, it doesn't mean that God is going to change it the way we want it changed. God doesn't always say, okay, I'm going to work it out just like you want it worked out. He doesn't do that. He didn't do that for Paul. He didn't do it for his own son. When Jesus prayed, Father, take this cup of death away from me, God said no. He didn't remove it. So God doesn't always in the affirmative say, hey, here's the way I'm going to work it out, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to be taking our problems to someone who can do something about that situation, and that's God. But God's not selfish enough for you to work it out exactly like you want it worked out. But he's powerful enough to do it. For in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, listen to what the Bible says. Now unto him that is able, it says, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or that we think, according to his will, that there's power that worketh in us. Have you ever thought about what that's saying? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. In other words, you could never ask God too big. Listen to what he says. Above all that we ask or even think in our mind, according to the power that worketh in us. His power is beyond imagination. It is beyond imagination. If he can place the stars in the heaven and spread them with his fingers, and that's exactly what the God of heaven actually did, then your problems and my problems pose very little for him. But thirdly, go to the right place, go to the right person, and trust, now this is important, trust your burden to the right provision. The reason I say that, and that may sound a little strange, to the right provision. You know what? God does provide. And he provides in unusual ways for us. We want the provision to be what we want, not what God wants. Not all the time. We say, well, God, I want your will to be done in my life. But then what happens is when that will conflicts with our will, then we're ready to back up and say, now, Lord, that's not really what I thought you wanted. Sometimes God does different things. He does. Sometimes. There are all kinds of ways that God provides for us. Sometimes He will remove your burden. Now, He does. Remember the Old Testament when Hezekiah had received word from God that he was going to die, and he prayed and he prayed and he lamented before God, and God gave him an additional 15 years of life. God told him, he says, you know what? You need to set your house in order, for you are going to leave this world. He turned his face to the wall. But he prayed and he prayed. And God removed his burden. We've all seen how God acts in our life and how he does different things. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand why God does certain things over here, maybe for one, and for another individual over here, he doesn't do that. There are reasons behind all that, reasons that we will never, ever know. There are times when the Lord changes your situation in an instant. I've seen it happen medically. I've seen people pray about certain things. Maybe they went into the hospital and they had a tumor. The doctor says, hey, you're going to have chemotherapy. It's the only thing that's going to knock it out. The individual goes back for his chemo session. The doctor does an examination once again. And the tumor is gone. And the doctor scratches his head and he thinks, now wait a minute, I saw a tumor. And you know what generally they say? It's not that God answers prayer, but there must have been a glitch on the x-ray. You see, I still believe God heals. I believe he's the great physician. Jesus said one time when the disciples came to him and they said that there were some that they could not cast out demonic spirits out of, Jesus said these go out by fasting and prayer. But sometimes God removes our burdens. Certainly the widow at Zarephath in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 is a tremendous example of that. Destitute. Yet God provides. He takes away the burden. But secondly, sometimes he will relieve your burden. There are some times when the Lord leaves the burden on our shoulders, but he will lighten that burden a little bit. You see, I think there are reasons for burdens in our life. He did this for Ruth when he allowed her path to cross that of Boaz. Remember the book of Ruth? The story of Ruth and Naomi is a tremendous story. And she says to Naomi, whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. Sometimes God doesn't totally take it away, but he relieves it a little. But thirdly, sometimes he will rest you in your burden. This is the most common and the one that we actually receive from him. He gives us grace to carry the load we have been assigned to carry in life. Paul could do that. He besought the Lord three times that the thorn in the flesh might leave him. And he prayed about it. But his faith didn't wane when God didn't take it away. He just simply accepted it because he knew that God says, "My grace is sufficient unto thee." In reality, it's a wonderful thing to see the glory of God changing us in our situation instead of him changing our situation. Let me repeat those quickly. Our time's passing away. But sometimes he removes the burden. Sometimes he will relieve your burden. And sometimes he will rest you in your burden. One thing I have decided in my own life is that however he decides to handle my situation, I have come to the conclusion he will always do what is right. Abraham of old made that statement. He says, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" Paul believed it. Romans 8:28, he says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose." And you can rest in his promise as well, that he will meet your needs based upon Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, and he does. He is still Jehovah Jireh, the need-meeting God. Genesis 22. Maybe you have a burden tonight that you've been carrying. Maybe you've been to a lot of places with that burden. Not to God. Maybe you've carried it here and there. You've been carrying it to the wrong place. You've been carrying it to the wrong person. Why not bring it before the Lord tonight and before people who will petition our God on your behalf? And if you're not a Christian tonight, why not get on praying terms with God? The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 again says that we are to cast our cares on him, for he careth for us. Wouldn't you like to unload tonight at the throne while we stand and while we sing?